It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is Lighthouse Faith Podcast, Moving Forward in Truth and Love. I'm Lauren Green, Chief Religion Correspondent for Fox News Channel and author of the book, Lighthouse Faith. Well, the big news out of the Olympics in Tokyo this week was Simone Biles, probably the greatest gymnast of all time. She pulled out of the Games, and the first reason given, it was a medical issue. But just hours later, we learned it was not a physical medical issue, but emotional. She said, I truly do feel that I have the weight of the world on my shoulders at times. That says a lot. You know, the pressure on athletes to be the best is intense. But even when they are the best, the pressure to maintain their sort of almost godlike status on the podium exponentially increases that pressure. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is on the ground at the Tokyo Olympics to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to athletes, coaches, and staff, to help them keep athletics in perspective, because athletes sacrifice so much to become the best they can be, and of course, to be better than every competitor. They have a unique relationship with their sport. They don't just do their sport. I mean, the sport eventually does them. FCA's Japan director is Will Thompson, and he joins me now to talk about what they're doing in Tokyo. Welcome, Will.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Well, you know, it wasn't the Simone Biles story that, you know, had to schedule you. It was just the Tokyo Olympics and what you're doing on the ground. And then this whole thing about Simone Biles broke, and it really brought to the surface the kind of pressure these athletes are under. What do you know about that?
For sure. I mean, I don't know Simone personally, but I can definitely resonate, having been an athlete myself collegiately, but also working with other elite athletes, that the pressure is extreme. And ultimately, you know, whether it be an athlete or anybody else in another profession, we're all going to come to some kind of breaking point in our lives, whether it be reaching the top pinnacle of success and not finding fulfillment, or succumbing to pressure, or reaching rock bottom in some other way. So I think it just sheds light upon the need for spiritual fulfillment and also spiritual care for these athletes.
And, you know, there's that documentary about Michael Phelps. You know, he just swept the Olympics last night with the all the gold medals, and I think it's called The Weight of Gold. And it really talked about, you know, how this sacrificial life of winning a gold medal and being an elite athlete becomes more than, you know, really a soul can bear, you know?
For sure. I mean, I don't know Michael either, but hearing some of his story, and he, you know, of course, reached the pinnacle and was, from what I understand, left with different you know, issues, and maybe some of that being identity, where you're done being a swimmer. You've done that your whole life, and now who am I? And those gold medals don't satisfy. And we know that the ultimate satisfaction only comes through Jesus. And so I think that's a reality. Mm-hmm. Another person that's been thrown to the spotlight recently, Naomi Osaka of Japan, and she's withdrawn from different tennis tournaments as well. And I think for her too, she has, you know, is half Japanese, half American, but it sheds a light a lot for Japan. And a lot, you hear a lot about this in Japan with not only athletes, but in society as a whole, that just the pressure of society. And unfortunately, there's extremely high suicide rate, one of the highest in the developed world. And so, again, we just do what we can to lift up Jesus and believe that's where the true hope will be found in him.
Yeah. I think Naomi's actually, her father's Haitian. He's not actually American.
Well, I was referring to her growing up in Florida.
Oh, absolutely. So, grew up in Florida. And she actually grew up, I think his family actually lived in Long Island, New York, too, as
for
well.
For sure.
So, but it's just the idea that there are these elite athletes and that they, you were talking about, that they have a sort of an existential crisis, you know, when there's no more sport to do. I mean, it's different from certain athletes because they can play for a longer time depending on the sport. But gymnastics is not a sport you can do into your 20s, late 20s and early 30s and 40s. It just isn't. You become a coach or whatever. And, you know, so this is an idea you were talking about, identity. And it is always what, you know, the gospel teaches, what, you know, responsible Christian churches teach, that your identity should be in Christ. It should not be in your sport. How do you communicate that to athletes if they don't even believe in Jesus?
Well, I think, you know, the Jesus question can come after the fact. You know, some people it comes, it's the first thing, but other people, you know, the question of where do you find your identity and where do you find your fulfillment? And tell me about that. I mean, that's a spiritual question without, you know, pushing Jesus as the answer right ahead. And so I think there's different ways to approach that. And especially in Japan, where a country with less than 1% are believers in Jesus and second largest unreached people group in the world, we've found that not only in coaches and athletes, but the whole population as a whole. If you push Jesus too soon, then, you know, first of all, you're going to get a blank stare because they don't even know what you're talking about. But also, you know, you could get viewed as, oh, of course, you're this foreigner. That's a foreigner's religion. I'm Japanese. Doesn't apply to me. And so we found that, you know, in asking these spiritual questions, it not only speaks to these issues of identity that you mentioned, but also it gets the other person to ask the question, okay, well, where is my identity and where can I find true identity? And they end up asking, well, where do you find it? And that's when we can share Jesus to them.
Yeah. You know, when an athlete like Simone Biles pulls out of a huge competition on the world stage, you don't get any larger than the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And you don't get any more prestige than the Olympics. And you don't really get much better at it than Simone Biles. When an athlete like that pulls out because of emotional issues, how does that affect the other team members, you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know much about gymnastics. My sport has been baseball. But still, you know, gymnastics is unique because it's individual sport, but also team sport. And I think you could say that about baseball. You could say that about a lot of sports. Mm-hmm. And so you have the pressure of performing as an individual, but you still have, it's a team sport. And so you're not going to succeed without your team members also succeeding. And then that talk, you go into, you know, what is your role and what is the role of the team and how do you get chemistry and all those kind of things. And so I think that's a great question. And it would be really interesting to talk to those teammates of Simone Biles, who, as you said, you know, probably greatest gymnast of all time, has definitely proved in the past winning gold medals and stuff. And so being her teammate and experiencing that is probably a very unique experience that only her teammates can speak to. But I definitely think, you know, in thinking about other teams I've been a part of and teams we've worked with, you know, that the superstar, you know, the pressure from your teammates. And then even sometimes the superstar mentality, because they know they're a superstar, their teammates don't even care for them off the court or off the mat or whatever it may be. And so, and then that has other issues, arrogance and then kind of excluding themselves and everything. And so, again, what we always talk about is, you know, sports is such a correlation to life. And like we were talking about identity, pressure, teamwork, all these kind of things, finding our goodness, you know, our identity in anything other than Jesus himself, whether it be our work, our job or career, it's just such a huge correlation with sports. And so that's another reason I love the Olympic time is, you know, it shows us you know, these people are superhuman, but they're still human. And it can cause us to ask the question, okay, if Simone Biles is having these, you know, this struggle, this pressure, well, what do I turn to when I have that same kind of pressure, even though I'm not the greatest gymnast, gold medalist? So,
yeah, I want to get to more of that insight a little bit later, but I feel like we really should kind of talk about what is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and what are they doing on the ground in Tokyo?
Sure. So FCA, we were founded in 1954, and one a basketball coach was given the vision that at the time that, you know, if athletes could endorse automobiles or tobacco or whatever, you know, product that it may be, then why not? Why can they not do the same with their faith for the gospel? And so that's kind of how it started. And has a rich history in the United States doing sports camps and reaching coaches and athletes in various ways. But only it's been the last probably 15 years or so that FCA started to intentionally focus internationally, and even the last 10 years specifically, strategically to focus internationally. And so FCA Japan, we started about 9 years ago, and originally working with one main baseball player, Matt Merton, who played over there and had a huge platform, and just helping him use that platform to share the gospel, lift up the name of Jesus. As I said, less than 1% are believers there. And so, but at the same time, as the world's getting to see right now, watching the Olympics, you know, Japan loves sports, and it's such a shame that, you know, no spectators allowed, and it's just so sad watching these empty arenas. But nonetheless, Japan just loves sports, and so we try to use this, you know, universal language of sport to communicate the gospel. And so we've seen that many Japanese would never step foot in the door of a church. There's a great faithful church in Japan, very small but very faithful, but just culturally, spiritually, for many reasons, they would never have any exposure to the Christian church. And so we try to meet them where they are. And again, our focus being coaches and athletes, that's, you know, the field, the court, the mat, wherever that may be.
Yeah, I think what the major religions in Japan are like what, Shinto and Buddhism?
Correct. That's Shinto really is kind of a Japanese folk religion where, you know, you're basically being Japanese, you're automatically part of that. And then Buddhist also, so.
Yeah. As I understand it, so the sort of Buddhism sort of folded in the Shintoism and it's kind of incorporated some of those things.
It has. And when I take people, you know, first time people to Japan, and we kind of go see some of the sites, and of course, our focus being, you know, sharing the gospel, I always take them to this one famous shrine, which actually you've probably seen on the coverage of the Olympics, Asakusa Shrine, and it's very Asakusa Temple, excuse me, Sanshoji Temple. And the unique thing about that is within this huge, one of the biggest Buddhist temples in Tokyo, there's actually a shrine within the temple, a Shinto shrine. And so it really overlaps and kind of goes hand in hand. But when you ask Japanese about, you know, what are you, they might say Buddhist Shinto, but it really has very little to do with their everyday life. It's really what we see more and more here in the United States, materialism, secularism, but they do honor a lot more of that Buddhist and Shinto tradition over there.
Yeah, let's take a break right now on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. We'll be right back talking with Will Thompson of the Fellowship for Christian Athletes. We'll be right back.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
And we are back with Will Thompson. He is the Japan director of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And we were really talking about the surprise of Simone Biles pulling out of the Olympics. And one of the things you talk about is the pressure that's under these athletes, you know, even, you know, when from very young. But also something else, Will, that has been more kind of in the last maybe few decades is the sort of endorsements that athletes get if they rise to the top. It's not just winning the gold medal now. I've got endorsements from Nike or from wherever, or not even, doesn't even have a sports, you know, it can be a restaurant or something, but it brings in millions and millions of dollars. So there is that pressure as well. Does that ever kind of fold into your kind of ministry at all to understand, you know, the level of pressure that they're experiencing?
Sure. I mean, we already talked about, you know, the incredible pressure at the highest level. And we really, as we focus on coaches and athletes, we say that, you know, of course, the Olympic level, the high profile elite level is the highest. But really, this mindset, even to the amateur level, college, high school, and below, you know, this identity idea, where if sports your identity, does it dictate your identity? And so that's really who we're focused on. And of course, in Japan, that being the Japanese coaches and athletes. And so, of course, in Japan, that Japan loving being a huge sports country, the endorsements are there as well. And this idea of everybody knows who you are, but with that brings an incredible pressure. And so as we try to reach out to these athletes, we try to show them, hey, we're not here to get a free ticket, an autograph, a picture, whatever that may be. We're here to meet you as a fellow human being in need of Jesus. And no matter where they are on the spectrum, the spiritual spectrum. And so we really try to stress that in our sports chaplaincy. We've done several sports chaplaincy trainings for leading up towards the Olympics, and really see that as an opportunity moving forward, as a catalyst that's hugely needed in Japan, as we already talked about the mental pressure that is evident there. And so we're really just trying to meet them where they are, relate to them as fellow human beings, not as look at them as gods like everybody else is, but but we talked about endorsement. You know, they do have a huge platform, and so when they're ready, that's an incredible opportunity for them to share their faith. But again, we don't want to ever push that on them. We don't want them to do that before they're ready, because we've also seen that have its own negative consequences.
Yeah. Why does Japan hold sort of this unique, and you kind of talked about it before, but just this unique opportunity for ministry? Because they... One of the things I see is that they have no background in Christianity. I mean, if you live in America, you have some understanding of what Christianity is, even if you're not a Christian. But in Japan, that's got to be a whole different kind of mindset when you're talking about a Christian ministry.
For sure. I often bring up the idea, you know, a lot of times when FCA or other ministries or churches, whatever it may be, do a gospel presentation in the U.S. or maybe in Latin America somewhere, a lot of times people are maybe coming back to church, or they have, like you mentioned, some kind of heritage. Maybe they have a grandmother who was praying for them, or they went when they're a kid that they kind of left or something like that. Well, Japan is complete opposite. There's zero exposure. And so I always tell the story, you know, we do our baseball clinics, and so we'll bring a current or former athlete in and share the baseball skill, the mental side, but also, you know, share their faith in Jesus. And you know, in the U.S. or Latin America, we, you know, share the gospel. I ask the question, who wants to trust in Jesus, raise hands or something like that. Well, in Japan, what we found is, you know, that's the wrong question to ask. They look at you if like you have four eyes or something like that. And so we started asking, who here has even heard the name of Jesus before? And some places we go to, there'll be maybe 50%, 20%. We've gone to places where zero people raise their hand. They don't even know who you're talking about. And right. So you're really starting at a completely different place. And so we talk about, you know, starting in Genesis, the creator, the one true creator God who created us and love us and wants relationship with us. Because Japan, that's the other thing. Oh, you're talking about another God. I'll just add him in with all the other thousands of gods I already have. And so the mindset the starting place is just completely different. And then, you know, like you had mentioned, the gospel has just, I believe it's been there a lot longer, but it just looks completely different there than it would in a country like the United States that has that Judeo-Christian heritage.
Now, do you have access to any of the Olympic athletes at all? I mean, are you in the village or anything like that?
So this year, about a year and a half ago, we were, you know, working with the organizing committee with several Japanese pastors and religious leaders on their chaplaincy program. And we were scheduled to be in the village like other Olympics. But of course, when the pandemic hit and the Olympics were postponed a year, that completely changed. And so what is currently happening this year is there's no one's allowed in the village besides Olympic athletes. And so there are a few chaplains that are allowed in only if there's some kind of emergency, but the whole chaplaincy program has been put online. It's been virtual. And so these athletes are given, they're given information on, okay, if they want to connect with a chaplain, this is how they go about doing that. And they can do a Zoom one-on-one session with them. And then they're also given access to a closed video website that has devotionals available for them that in different languages and faith traditions. So there's, for example, Japanese Catholic priests that have given devotionals in Japanese, and then Spanish, French, English, other languages. But then there's also, you know, Protestant leaders, and then of course the Olympics has the, you know, I think the world's five largest religions, so that including Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. And so it looks completely different beyond anybody could imagine a year and a half ago. But again, I think even in that, it's bizarre, but I think we can see fruit in it. And from the beginning, 8 years ago, when Tokyo was given the Olympic bid, many of us faith leaders and sports ministry leaders came together and started praying and preparing. We really believed and still do believe this is, you know, for kingdom purposes. And so when you talk about chaplaincy, my dream and hope and prayer is that this can be a spark for sports chaplaincy in Japan after the fact, even whether it be virtual or in person. And so, like I mentioned, that is completely non-existent in Japan, very minimal at best. Mm-hmm. And so we just hope and pray that's part of the legacy
and
that's
left. The idea, though, because sports is just one aspect of life, but it is, like you were talking about, the sort of microcosm of life's triumphs and tragedies. You know, but it's on the world stage. It's much different when the world is watching when you lose. You know, it's when you win, it's great, but the world must watch your triumphs as well as your tragedies, and that's got to create unique opportunities for sports ministry as well.
For sure.
One of the things that I wanted to ask is, like, you know, what is the most common thing athletes reach out to you about?
Well, again, I think it depends on the context. So, you know, a high school female athlete from Japan versus a, you know, high profile Olympic or professional athlete who's male from the United States, it looks different. And so, but I think we already mentioned some of the common themes, identity, pressure, you know, having people, you know, always pulling you in different directions, wanting something from you, you know, how to handle defeat, how to handle success. And so there are many, you know, and that's not by any means just me, but just even working with other sports ministers around the world and in Japan, you know, we've seen that. And so, because, you know, the identity of a sports person, you know, it's not just, oh, it's okay if you don't win, you know, pat on the back kind of thing. You know, it's still, we very much value that, because that's what you know, we believe that honors God and that competition and competing can be our worship back to Him. And so we want to do our best, but we also want to make the main thing the main thing and keep the main thing the main thing. And so, like we talked about earlier in the program, you know, there's going to be a time in all of our lives where we find ourselves off track or at this place where we can't overcome or rock bottom. And so it's what do you do after that? And so we've developed different resources, you know, to speak to coaches and athletes in that way. And I mentioned, you know, Japan being such an unreached country, they do have the Bible in their language, but they don't have many resources that speak to the heart of coaches and athletes. So we've worked over the last few years to develop devotionals and Bibles that share other athlete testimonies, but also talk to different topics such as identity and pressure that we had already talked about, but in the Japanese language, but also in a way that they can relate to.
Yeah, yeah. I would think that athletes are more prone to reach out to an organization like yours when things are not going well. I mean, you know, when they're winning, it's like, yeah, this is what I deserve, and I've worked hard, and you know, it's great, and I know that it struggled, and it was a struggle, but it's great. But I would think that it's the devastation of loss that compels them to reach out to your ministry. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you are right. I don't think it's only that too. Like we already talked about Michael Phelps. You know, he didn't have a loss. He has all the gold medals, but it was, you know, after retirement. Okay, who am I now? And all those struggles. Mm-hmm. There's another athlete we've worked with some. MLB future Hall of Famer and everything. And he kind of had the reputation for being kind of a crazy party guy. Well, it was after he got into some trouble that, you know, he, and it wasn't us, but God worked through different people in his life. And now he's, you know, going to seminary and wow, on fire. And so it's really cool to hear these stories. And to your point, I think that is very true. And I think it's also kind of maybe easier to approach them because, like you mentioned, when they're winning, when they're on top, everybody wants a piece of them. Everybody wants them for an endorsement or a selfie or whatever it is. But it's when they lost, it's like, okay. And you see that even more so in Japan, the honor shame culture. Mm-hmm. People aren't really, don't always talk to the people who've lost or whatever. And so I do think that, to your point, that it's very true.
Yeah, yeah. Now, before we go, tell me about the pins, because I read that you had made special pins to hand out. There was something about the culture of the Olympics where they have all these pins that athletes trade and give away.
Sure. Yeah. Any of you have been to, you know, to an Olympics or an Olympic city during the Olympics, you're probably familiar with the culture of pin trading. And so basically what that is every athlete is given a bunch of pins from their home Olympic committee. So the U.S. Olympic team, well, they'll even do a team. So like the Olympic gymnastic team or the Japanese softball team or whatever will have their own pin. And you can only get that pin from that athlete or a coach or something. And so what happens is it just turns into this kind of culture of pin trading. And then also the sponsors will have pins. So Toyota or whoever will have their own pin. And you want to try to get, you know, some of the rare pins, get a North Korean pin or something, like, you know, some of the rare pins where there's only a couple athletes. And so the reason I know so much about this is because my father is a collector and a pin collector. And actually my original connection to Japan, I grew up there when I was a kid for 5 years, and we were there during the 98 Nagano Olympics. And my father worked for IBM, who was an Olympic sponsor at the time. So we got to be a part of that when I was 10 years old. And so you wear them all around your neck and and it's a great way. The Olympic atmosphere is part of what makes it so neat, is, you know, the whole world's there, and, you know, you don't speak the same language, but, you know, there's this camaraderie because of the sports being there and just this atmosphere. And so the pin thing is really neat because you can strike up conversations with people, talking, checking out what pins they have, asking if they're willing to trade a pin because they have one you liked or something like that. And so we, you know, this is one of our plans that we've made that kind of got thrown off with the whole virus thing. But what we did is we designed three pins based on 1 Corinthians 13, so faith, hope, and love. And so we did it in the Japanese characters and with Japanese designs, like a fan, a lantern, and Mount Fuji.
Oh, nice.
With the hope that, you know, we could, you know, be there, trade pins, and say, hey, this means faith. This means hope. You know, our we believe hope is found in Jesus. You know, where do you find your hope? You know, kind of, and just start up gospel conversations. And so, again, unfortunately, this is one of the things that got steered off course with the pandemic. But we still hope and pray that we can use these, you know, some in the Olympics and Paralympics. But again, we're really focused on the legacy piece, and that it's not just about, you know, the Olympics, but it's about what is God doing in Japan after the Olympics? What is God doing through sports ministry after? And so they are timeless and hope to be used that way. I already mentioned, you know, same with the Japanese sports Bibles. Same idea, you know, we did it because of the Olympics, but not only because of the Olympics. We did it to use the Olympics as that spark.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, the pins, you know, it's a little more difficult to do that than we would have been able to do. But God's really kind of brought to our attention this strategy and mobilization for prayer that has taken place. And so we're trying to encourage people to pray through, you know, 1 million hours of prayer for Japan. And so this initiative, Japan1million.com, we're really trying to encourage people to pray for Japan because it's a place that really needs the gospel and the kingdom there.
Absolutely. Will Thompson, the Japan Director of Fellowship for Christian Athletes, thank you so much for being on Lighthouse Faith Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm Lauren Green. Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Faith Podcast. Have a blessed day.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.